You're listening to Beyond Bourbon Street, an insider's guide to New Orleans. Beyond Bourbon Street is the podcast where we explore the food, music, culture, places, and people that make New Orleans unique. Whether you are planning a trip, living in New Orleans, or simply wanting a taste of the Crescent City from wherever you are, you've come to the right place. And now, your host, Mark Bologna.
Hey, y'all. This is Mark. Welcome to episode 172. Today's episode's a bit unique. As you probably know, our economy here in New Orleans is heavily focused on tourism and hospitality. Today, I wanted to dive into a question I sometimes get about entrepreneurship and the tech community in New Orleans. To do that, we're going to talk about something called the Idea Village, as well as an annual event called New Orleans Entrepreneur Week, also known as NOE. The last show was titled 7 Ways to Enjoy New Orleans During the Holidays. I've gotten good feedback on it, so if you missed it, go back and give it a listen. I think you'll enjoy it, even if you listen to it after the holidays. Before we jump in, though, let me talk about the people that make this show possible. The most frequent questions I get are about moving to New Orleans. If you're ready to make the move, you're going to need a good realtor, and that's where Liz Wood comes in. Let Liz and her team over at Liz Wood Realty help you find the right place. They can help whether you plan to rent or purchase. Look, New Orleans is a great place, but it can sometimes be a hard place to figure out where you best fit, and that's where I think Liz does a really great job. She makes the process fun and easy, so reach out to Liz at lizwoodrealty.com and make your dream of living in New Orleans a reality. The other thing I'll say about Liz is she really fosters community so that once you become a part of the New Orleans community, she's going to keep in touch with you. She's going to invite you to events. She's going to invite you to be on Bourbon Street events, and you're really going to kind of have a built-in sort of, you know, group when you get here, so reach out to her. Well, while you're at it, while you're working with Liz, you're going to need to secure financing in all likelihood. And that's where my friend Tommy Manzella comes in. Reach out to Tommy at Gulf Coast Mortgage and let him help you get everything in place. We did that a couple years ago on a refinance, and it was as smooth as could be. We then later went back to him when we were looking at purchasing another home and went through the process again, and it was just as easy as can be. Tommy and his team are top-notch. They walk you through it. Everything's disclosed up front. It's really straightforward, really easy. We'll put links in the show notes to everything we talk about today, but certainly including Liz and Tommy. But it's Tommy Manzella over at Gulf Coast Bank. The last sponsor that I want to talk about right now is our friends over at Sunset Chasers. Do you need help planning a trip to New Orleans or elsewhere? If you do, contact Mallory and Allison at Sunset Chasers. Longtime listeners know I used to offer a travel planning service specific to New Orleans, but frankly, I had to give it up as the twins got older. They were just involved in too many things, and I just didn't have time to do it. I looked for a long time to find someone that I thought fit what I was doing, and I think I found them in Mallory and Allison. They can help you not only plan a trip to New Orleans, but to anywhere else. And speaking of which, now is the time to book if you're looking for a cruise vacation in 2023 or 2024. And that might mean sailing the Mediterranean or the Caribbean or even the Mississippi River. The Sunset Chasers Travel Agency is your go-to. You can schedule a call for free. And if you book a cruise before March 31st, 2023, you'll get a $200 onboard credit per cabin. Additionally, when you go to sunsetchaserstravelagency.com/call and mention the code BEYOND15, you'll save 15% off of any services you purchase from them. The call is free. They'll talk over some ideas with you, give you some ideas whether you choose to work with them or not. And I would tell you that their fees are actually a little less of a price point than where my fees were. So check them out. If you do use Mallory and Allison, let me know. I'd love some feedback, but I think they're a good fit. Now, I want to dive into today's topic. As I mentioned, when you think of New Orleans and our economy, most people rightfully think about travel, tourism, hospitality, and those have certainly been drivers for decades. I think more recently, really kind of starting post-Katrina, but even in the last 5 to 10 years, there's been a push to develop entrepreneurship and to create at least the beginnings of a tech community here. We're going to talk about two different things that are kind of complementary, and we're going to have two guests. To talk about it more, I'm going to be joined by John Atkinson and Liz Maxwell. John is not quite here yet. He's driving in from Baton Rouge, and we are on the edge of some really bad weather as we record this right before Christmas. So he's going to walk in at some point. But John's the CEO of the Idea Village, and Liz is Director of Community and Communications here at the Idea Village. But she's also the executive producer of New Orleans Entrepreneur Week. Again, we'll refer to it mostly as NOE because it's a mouthful. So in the meantime, while we wait for John, did I just call you
Everything was right.
Yes, I did. I called you Liz, and I'm looking at you, Liz, and I have Jessica here, and Jessica is the person that helped us coordinate this. So excuse me for that, but welcome to the show, Liz. How are you?
Thank you. I'm great. Thanks so much for having me.
Get off to a crazy start, but that's all right. I'm looking out the window here at the cubicle there. So as I mentioned, there's kind of two components of what I want to talk about today, but we'll kind of hold off to the side the Idea Village, which is where we are today, until John walks in the door. And we'll talk more about the main part of your focus, although I know you wear many hats. Mm-hmm. So before we do that, Liz, let's talk a little bit about your background. Where did you come from? What did you do before you got here?
Sure. Yeah. Short version or long version is always the question.
We'll see.
But I am from New Orleans. I'm a New Orleans native. I grew up on the West Bank in Algiers. I went to Ursuline High School. If you have longtime listeners to your podcast, I'm sure they know to ask the high school question.
Yes, we've discussed that.
Mm-hmm. And after Ursuline, I went to Northwestern State University up in Natchitoches, Louisiana. Mm-hmm. I was a theater major there, and I was really carving a path for a while as a theater director and actor, singer, dancer in the musical theater world. And I lived outside of New Orleans for about 15 years then. I traveled and lived abroad. I lived in Italy. I was the artistic director for a nonprofit out there that was producing site-specific work in mm-hmm. old Italian monasteries called the Art Monastery Project. It was very fun, a unique chapter of my life for sure. And after a few years in Italy, I was feeling very much like an expat and a longing, kind of yearning to return home. Home in some sense, home to the United States at mm-hmm. that time. And so I moved to New York. And that's when I really started translating my theater skills and background into event production. And
makes sense. Yeah.
Yes, it's a very aligned skill set, I'll say to anyone out there with similar worlds. But I really found a home in the social impact space. Mm. And so I was working for a conference called The Feast at the time, and then the Impact Hub Network. I was the first events and venue manager of the Impact Hub space in Tribeca. And from there, I moved into working for a conference called SOCAP, the Social Capital Markets Conference out in San Francisco. And I was running an event series for them called SOCAP 365. Mm-hmm. So year-round impact investing convenings across the country. And so I was bouncing around the country. This was 2017, 2018, running these pop-up events in different cities, but learning a lot about investing and finance and sort of ESG. Kind of that whole world of things was just fascinating to me. And then I was having the yearning again for home. I haven't said this before, but I guess that's the theme for me, really home for New Orleans at that point. And this was pre-COVID, but 2018, I moved back to the city, and it was just great to be around family again and so many connections. I think a lot of New Orleans returners would say, like, it's just home again. Yeah. Just, there's such a deep connection of community across the city. And so really, I'll speed up. The last few years, I've been getting graduate degree at University of New Orleans in public administration. And so I just graduated with that 2 weeks ago.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Yep. Long path there. But around kind of finishing the full-time part of that degree, I was just looking for the next thing in the city. And I had done a kind of focus on economic development. I would say my years learning the investing language and finance language just made me so curious about why some economies thrive and why some economies seem to always be not able to put the pieces together to create wealth for local residents, right? Mm-hmm. And like equitably across race, class, gender. And so searching in that economic development space is how I found the Idea Village. And then it was just a kind of perfect meeting of worlds, I would say, of they were looking for someone with deep event production experience, also with communications and marketing experience, and ready to step into a leadership role. And that's how I found the Idea Village.
That's awesome. And there's a little bit to unpack there. There's a lot to unpack there. I think, so like you, I was away for about 15 years and got the urge to move back. Again, my listeners know I have now 11-year-old twins, but I moved back when they were babies, specifically to be around family, but to raise them as New Orleanians. Mm, that was important to my wife and I. Mm. And you get that longing, right? You mentioned the West Bank. I had the pleasure of interviewing Lisa Mosca, gosh, a couple months ago. And then I proceeded to eat the entire meal, the entire menu by myself. Moskas, if you missed that, most locals call it moskas. We did an episode, I forget which episode it was, but you want to go back and listen to that and then head over to the West Bank on the other side of the river from downtown New Orleans and have a great roadhouse kind of old classic Italian meal there. It's interesting that you mention UNO, the University of New Orleans, because I think it has a very strong program in economic development, and yet that has been one of the challenges here in New Orleans. I'm 52 years old, and it's been that way my entire life. You know, beyond small mom-and-pop restaurants or you know, just small corner stores, that idea of how do you really, on the one hand, there's a fair amount of money in the city, but there's also such a disparity here in the city between sort of, I'll say, old line money and maybe now, especially in the last few years, people moving into town with money and those locals trying to figure out how to take their great ideas to market and make something of it, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's absolutely. I know we'll get into this more later in the podcast, but the work of the Idea Village, I mean, that really kind of taking folks through from the idea stage all the way through high scalable growth and exits of bigger, often tech businesses. But one of the things that attracted me to the Idea Village, I remember in my final interview and talking with John in his office, he said to me, "Why startups?" And I said, "Jobs," because I had learned in doing my research for the job, pro tip, but through the Idea Village's website, just all of the academic-backed research about how startups are the leading job creator, and they outpace kind of every other sector as far as, I mean, mom-and-pop shops are also vital to economies, right? Especially local economies. They're kind of the backbone of generational employment and neighborhood kind of economic grounding. But startups at scale can really just produce sort of jobs at the level that, you know, it's often impossible for other businesses that aren't capital, venture capital backed like that to hire 100 new employees in a quarter.
Exactly. Right?
So I think it's, yeah, really exciting work and really is a driver of local growth. And here in New Orleans, it seems to be working, which is good news.
Yeah. Well, and as someone that grew up in a family owned business, we had a little po' boy shop. I think they are very complementary in that those neighborhood shops around town are in many cases the culture and the backbone of the city, but they can be better supported, much better supported, if you have big industry. And going back to the 60s and 70s, New Orleans had a strong foundation on oil, and then there was the bust, and then kind of shifted, although it was already there, into tourism. But we are in sort of another boom or bust. You hit COVID, and the tourism and conference business goes away. And then all of a sudden, or you have this kind of new influx that I mentioned of people where for New Orleans, New Orleanians, it's gotten very expensive. But if you live on the coast, coming to New Orleans is really affordable. The problem with that, I think about San Francisco 15, 20 years ago, it starts to price the hospitality industry infrastructure out. So all of a sudden, all the people working in all those great restaurants you love in the French Quarter and Uptown can't afford to live anywhere near there, right?
Yeah.
So you just get all these problems. And I think when you bring in new industries, whether it's tech or it's just entrepreneurship in general, and I'm referring to what you're talking about, things at scale and things where there's going to be significant money poured in, when they succeed, they bring in jobs and they bring in people with money who can then turn around and feed that ecosystem, right, of supporting those businesses like my parents' business or the local bookshop or coffee shop or whatever it might be. You know, obviously, when John gets here, we'll talk about the Idea Village, which is very rooted in New Orleans and has some programs there, and we'll get to that. But let's, in the absence of John, let's talk about the other half and the other hat that you wear, and that's New Orleans Entrepreneur Week. Mm-hmm. So, gosh, I don't know where to start, so I'm going to punt that to you first.
Sure.
Like, how would you sum up Entrepreneur Week, and then let's get into the details of it.
Yeah, great. No, we go. It's kind of my daily routine anyway these days.
And it's all over the walls in the room we're in.
Yes, we're in Noe War Room, as I like to have dubbed our back conference room throughout the season. So New Orleans Entrepreneur Week is going into its 12th year this year in 2023. And I think that's really exciting to be building off such a legacy of not only this event, but the growth of entrepreneurship in the city over years and over a decade now. it's my second year producing the event. So I feel like last year especially, I was both like feeling a lot of pressure about that history and kind of thrilled to come up with something that people seem to really resonate with and say, like, this is building on the tradition of this event. And NOE is heading in some really new, exciting, big and bigger and bigger directions now, which I'd love to get into a little bit too. But I'll just start with the general scope for this year. Yep. I think is kind of the easiest place to get concrete of what is the event, when is the event, what are we talking about here? So the event, NOE is always the last week of March traditionally. So March 27th through April 1st is what we're planning for this year. It's going to be 6 days. We often joke about, you know, New Orleans Entrepreneur Week doesn't leave you much wiggle room to do anything other than a full week or, you know, center New Orleans right. and entrepreneurship in the conversation. But we're excited about that. Monday to Saturday will be really fun. I can give a quick rundown of that week. I think it's also the easiest way to feel a little bit of the details.
Yeah, because it's changed too. I've been a part of it on and off for probably half of its life, and it's changed, and it's changing again this year a little bit. So yeah, just kind of give people the flavor of kind of the rhythm of the week a little bit. And
great. Yeah, and I think I should also say from the outset, kind of the mission, vision, kind of central purpose of the convening is about entrepreneurship, technology, startups, innovation, and culture. And those last two we're really leaning into kind of in looking forward for the next 10 years or more of the event. But the intersection of innovation and culture, we think is a uniquely New Orleans thing to offer and host around. I say on almost all of our partner calls, you know, world-class culture, New Orleans style, the kind of thing you can only get in New Orleans. Like, that's what to expect at the event, basically. And really then with that, putting side by side the thought leadership and the networking and the kind of cutting edge startup trends, technology trends. And we'll get into more of those themes in a moment. But really that type of leadership in the business sector is something that you don't see at a lot of other New Orleans festivals. So, I mean, I hope your listeners also come for French Quarter Fest and Jazz Fest. You know, there's so many amazing ones that happen throughout the year. But this, I think, is a unique opportunity to maybe put it on the company credit card and have a real sort of business-led event that also is a total New Orleans experience.
Yeah, my experience with it, both as a presenter and as a participant, is that you do get a mix of founders, you get a mix of just sort of serial entrepreneurs, small entrepreneurs, you know, one-person businesses. You also get mid-sized, sometimes larger businesses where they have chosen to send folks to the event because there's not many things like it in New Orleans, certainly. I was recently at an event that happened to be in New Orleans this year called LavaCon, which is kind of a not focused so much on startup, but focused on tech. And you had companies from very large Fortune 50 companies to very small 2-3 person businesses. And I sort of feel like NOE does that. We can talk about size in a minute. It's not tiny, but it's not huge by any means. Mm-hmm. Over the 6 days, you can interact with a majority of the people if you so choose to do that. Yeah. And I think there's really opportunities for not only the sessions, but hallway conversations with people, right? That may be at a different level than you, or maybe have commonalities, or, you know, those kind of things I've seen happen at the event. I love that there is this, you know, I mentioned we don't want to focus, or I would like to see the city not be so dependent on tourism. And there's a piece of that with NOE. But what I like about the direction that NOE is headed is that last piece, the cultural piece, and sort of blending that in, right? Yeah. You can have a tech conference anywhere.
Right.
It's exactly. really difficult to find a tech conference, an entrepreneur conference tied into a place with culture as wonderful as ours.
Yes.
Right. Exactly. And you guys do that right in the heart of it. So it's real easy to, for instance, be in a session about startup funding and then go have a shrimp po' boy for lunch, right? I mean, that's exactly. a really pretty great thing. So let's talk about some of the programs that happened during the week.
Great. Yes, I'm beaming as we sit here because I feel like just as a New Orleans native, I also, and who's lived elsewhere, I think there's a unique lens to like, it's really special, actually. So that's so fun. Yeah, maybe I'll hit both the rhythm of the week. I think that's important, and the themes and the content. And so what happens throughout the week is that Monday and Tuesday is NOE in your neighborhood. And so what's really special about that...
And we are just being joined by John Atkinson, who's the CEO of Idea Village. John, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. As close as you can get to the microphone is great. And we are talking about NOE. We figured we'd do a little reversal and talk about NOE first, and then jump back to Idea Village. So Liz has just kind of given us the rundown about kind of the rhythm of a week at NOE.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. So from the top, Monday and Tuesday is NOE in Your Neighborhood, which is a really exciting piece of the week because it's hosted by partners. So the Idea Village is one of many entrepreneurial organizations in the city or entrepreneurial support organizations. And even in the broader innovation and culture landscape, we just invite community partners to host an event anywhere in the city. Mm. So I would say it's a great invitation to come in early for the week. And if you are able to either take that full week off or, you know, get that kind of non-traditional off time, it's a moment to come into the city, experience a lot of neighborhoods and really interesting, unique content that they're putting together on our themes, which I'll talk about in a minute. But then starting on Wednesday, we are hosting Wednesday and Thursday at the historic Gallier Hall, which is a wonderful partnership we have with the City of New Orleans. It's the original City Hall or a historic City Hall, one of many probably in the city. And so that's where we'll hit all eight themes back to back with speaker sessions, networking opportunities. There'll be some concerts and music on Wednesday night with another partner organization out in the big park across the street. It's really the central piece of the week happens Wednesday and Thursday there. So that's a good time to come as well. And then starting on Thursday evening, we're kicking off a new concept called NOE Fest this year. And so NOE Fest is about leaning into that culture side, creating some of a back-to-back music experience for folks. And the that piece will be ticketed, so you need a ticket to get into that part. The rest of the week before then has all been free up till then. And then Friday will be pitch day. That's where we'll hear some of our leading entrepreneurs pitching on stage for funding, do some showcases of other entrepreneurs around that. We're also doing some youth pitches this year, which is really fun. So Friday, I think, is going to be really exceptional. And then more music Friday night, and Saturday wrap it all up with a crawfish boil and more music on stage and an innovation marketplace. So we're trying to hit many venues throughout the city, give people multiple ways to engage, because I think that's a thing that just as an event producer and theater background, you really learn is I want to like sit and learn a lot. I also want to go meet that person. I also need a break and just to experience some live music. So we try to make it kind of a multi-dimensional experience in that way.
Yeah. John, you want to jump in?
Absolutely. So we've been talking about the rhythm of NOE. I think one of the things that's most special about NOE itself is that it fits into the rhythms and rituals of New Orleans. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, this time between Mardi Gras and Jazz Fest that we really celebrate innovation and culture and all that this great city has to offer around the ideas of building startups, of building industry-leading companies, and being a place that can really spur innovation with authenticity. So it's an exciting time to be in New Orleans. It's an exciting time to plug in to what's happening in New Orleans. And it's really a microcosm of what's happening in the city writ large.
Yeah. And, you know, we were talking earlier before you jumped in that one of the struggles in New Orleans always has been that we're so dependent on tourism and hospitality. And there's this gap, right, between there is money in the city, both old money and new money that's come in because New Orleans is relatively affordable if you're coming from the coasts, right? And yet that hasn't resulted in this tech community, except that I think NOE and Idea Village, as we'll get into, has really both have this mission of trying to interest people. You know, NOE is not for New Orleanians, although there are certainly New Orleanians, but it is this idea of trying to bring people from those backgrounds and interested in those backgrounds into the city. And, you guys both have mentioned sort of the culture part of it. Usually in NOE, and I assume this year, there's always a climate piece of it because climate and the coast is always such a big deal here. I know in past years at NOE, some of the pitches have been very focused on that, right? What do we do about climate change and coastal erosion in the city or in this part of the south of the U.S.
I think, you know, one of the exciting things about New Orleans is we're a place that is really starting to punch above its weight class in terms of startups and innovation. It is, you know, not necessarily somewhere that has always been synonymous with those ideas, but right. It's increasingly becoming so. In the last year and a half, we've had over $2.5 billion of exits come from local startups. And so we're starting to see that flywheel turning in a really meaningful way. What we're working on as a city is how do we connect that to more of the things that we've historically been good at, you know, things like industrials, things like hospitality. That's where we get to ideas like climate tech and culture tech, right? As how do you bring that, what has become a really vibrant innovation ecosystem, together with the places where we already have leading infrastructure, and use that to sort of take them into the 21st century.
And before we sort of shift to Idea Village, what else would you want to, I don't want to leave anything out, Liz, because I know you're so passionate about it. And I certainly want you to mention the NOE Focus podcast as well.
Oh, yes. Thank you. Reminder. I'll quickly hit on the NOE themes, I think is important. And then, yeah, podcasts and some next steps. And I'd love to talk more about Idea Village as well. So I do think it's worth running quickly through the themes. John just mentioned culture tech and climate tech, and we're also doing health tech this year. So we try to pick a few of these that are real emerging industries, as John said, in both New Orleans, Louisiana, and for the whole Gulf Coast, truly. Those three are areas where we see a lot of activities, a lot of innovation, and so I think they're just really exciting areas to dig into. So happy to chat more about those with interested folks. The next two I'll mention are our punny themes this year, which are entrepreneurship and sassy entrepreneurs. So those are two our call outs to the food and beverage community, the hospitality industry here, where we see so much entrepreneurship and business activity around. So entrepreneurship will both be a thought leadership moment for some of our local superstars, as well as activations, we'll call them, which you can read as taste testing and plenty of opportunities to sample food and drink by New Orleans leading entrepreneurs. And then sassy entrepreneurs is just software as a service. It's another huge industry where we've also called that the res tech industry, research technology, and where we've seen the first unicorn to come out of New Orleans last year was Lucid, which was acquired by Cint Group, and that was in the res tech space. So we want to make sure there's lots of conversations there continuing as well. And the last three themes are future of local business, which we talked a lot about right up top, how vital that is to New Orleans economy and so many local economies. Investing in innovation, really a space for investors, kind of the other side of entrepreneurship, right, to come together. Everything from angel to venture, I think we're going to try to touch on briefly there. So give folks a lot of room to get into that financing piece of the conversation as well. And then startups for impact. As I mentioned right up top, that's a lot of my background is in the impact, both impact investing and social entrepreneurship space. And I find that to be not a very kind of centered or active conversation in New Orleans. But it's so funny because there's a thriving nonprofit scene and there's a thriving startup community and entrepreneurship group. So I think that there's a lot of room for a kind of blended triple bottom line impact conversation as well. So those are the themes we're going to cover at NOE this year. It's a lot, but we have 6 days to do it, and really invite people to come on in for it. So the last two things I'll plug are noe.org, noew.org, or neworleansentrepreneurweek.org will get you there. And that's the place to find all the information, get your tickets, get your passes. All of that is live on the site right now. And then thank you, Mark, for inviting us to also share about our podcast, Big Easy Ideas, which is at bigeasyideas.com, but is a place where you can learn more about or hear some of the NOE sessions from last year. And so we're releasing those weekly currently. We're hitting on some of the themes that are also upcoming for this year. But Big Easy Ideas is all live recorded at New Orleans Entrepreneur Week and is a great place to get a sneak peek at what's to come should you attend this year.
I'm really biased, but I was really excited that you guys did this because, John, you remember years ago we would record them. We recorded a session I actually did about podcasting with another podcast.
That's so meta.
And there was no easy way to get that out, right? And we didn't think of the idea of, gosh, we should release that as a podcast, right? So I think that it is a good way to get excited. It's a good way to get a sense of it. The last thing I want to touch on there, Liz, that you mentioned before we kind of focus on the Idea Village, is that one of the things that's unique to me about NOE is if you are an investor, an angel investor, there's an opportunity for you to come see some really talented individuals and some businesses with potential kind of at all levels. And the reverse is also true. if you are an entrepreneur, whether you are just starting out or you're a little bit further along, whether you're an early seed or maybe you're beyond that, there's an opportunity to really meet some people who may or may not be from New Orleans, from all over the place, that are investors. So it's really a good opportunity on both sides of that. Yes. So thank you for that.
One very last thing I'll plug is that speaker applications are open now too through early January. So it's on the NOE.org website. But if you have expertise in one of these areas, please do apply to speak and you could be on the podcast in future years. So yeah. I think that's a fun loop as well.
Which reminds me, I need to do that.
We'll let you apply. Yeah.
So I did introduce you, John, as we started as the CEO of Idea Village. I appreciate it. I know you were hurrying back ahead of the weather from Baton Rouge. Let's just give listeners first just like a 5,000 level view of who you are and your background and how you ended up here at Idea Village. And then we'll get into the details of the business itself.
Yeah, absolutely. So I've been fortunate to be in this role at Idea Village for the last 4.5 years. It's amazing how fast that goes. I consider myself to be a product of this ecosystem. I've sort of come up through the ecosystem that has been built in New Orleans. Immediately prior to this, I helped start the entrepreneurship program, an entrepreneurship center at Loyola University, New Orleans, which has subsequently become a top 25 ranked MBA program for entrepreneurship, which we're all very proud of. In my work there, I really focused on the innovation ready workforce and how do we sort of bring people in to push the local startup community up from the ground up. Prior to that, my career has been in finance. So you and I met as part of Lanyap Angels, which is an early stage angel investment group that has deployed capital to 14 local companies and is celebrating some things recently, which we're excited about. And then I originally started in New Orleans post-Katrina in commercial banking. And that's where I cut my chops in sort of touring gutted buildings and talking about the vision of what they could become.
Yeah. And I think you're right. We met through Lanyap Angels, which was hosted graciously by you guys over at Loyola. And that was a neat way to introduce students as well to real time, everything from seeing pitches to hearing our discussions about, you know, what do you look for when you're evaluating a company as a potential investor and what that looks like and the risks. And we got to see some companies kind of change and morph and some do better than others and all of that stuff. But all of that background that you described seemed like a perfect foundation for coming to the Idea Village. I didn't realize it had been that long, but I guess COVID, you know, we lose a couple of years. So tell us a little bit, just first high level, and then I want to get into the programs, but what is the Idea Village?
So we are a nonprofit organization whose purpose is to support startups. So we work to identify, support, and retain talent in New Orleans and the Gulf Coast region. We do that primarily through two avenues, through accelerator programs, which we haven't talked about, and New Orleans Entrepreneur Week, which we have talked a good bit about today. So I'll focus in on the accelerator program side. So we run two accelerator programs, an early stage program we call Idea Institute, and then a later stage program we call VillageX. Those are application based. We have cohorts of companies that apply. They are accepted. They go through a program together. We work to set them up for success at the appropriate stage. So at the seed stage, we're looking to hone the business idea, you know, think about, is this really a scalable opportunity? How do we build the business model? How do we do customer discovery and customer development? How do we turn that into a basic pitch deck? How do we understand the economics behind that pitch? And then how do we ultimately pitch that to investors? The goal being to raise a seed round, potentially get into a later stage program. At the VillageX level, these are companies that have built product or maybe pushing that product to market, have started to build a team, may have raised a little bit of capital, and they are looking for, you know, how do I take this idea that I've started to get traction around and turn that into a company that can scale, that can raise at least $1 million, and that can hire its first 10 to 15 employees. And so as a program, I mentioned earlier the $2.5 billion in exits coming out of New Orleans. This organization has been fortunate to be at the center of sort of building that startup community over the last 20 years. Directly amongst our alumni, we count over $1.7 billion in exit value. Our later stage accelerator alumni base is currently responsible for around $500 million in capital investment in the region. And that portfolio of companies generates about $500 million in annual recurring revenue and employs over 3,500 people locally, which we're incredibly proud of. And so this organization has been sort of at the center of getting that flywheel turning. I see my charge as how do we get it to turn faster?
Mm-hmm. One of the things I like about the fact that there are two different programs, and again, I'm coming at this for the moment from our experience in Lagniappe, is that for the longest time, although we were talking before you came in, University of New Orleans has excellent programs about economic development and business in general. Obviously, you have Loyola and Tulane, really top-notch universities. But for the longest time in New Orleans, what you had were what I grew up with, mom-and-pop places, right? Places that not only didn't have the knowledge or the expertise, but weren't the least bit interested in the kind of businesses we're talking about. And these businesses that can grow at scale and be involved in these industries, whether it's tech or it's healthcare or other things like that, all indirectly end up indirectly support all those cultural businesses, right? They support the moms and pops. When you're employing 3,500 people, they have to eat somewhere, they have to live somewhere, they want to celebrate, they want to enjoy all there is to offer in the city. But what I like about the two different programs is that one is very foundational. You know, one of the things we would run into is sometimes people came in with a great idea and had absolutely zero experience other than the idea. And as an investor, you're sort of like, you don't have the time to coach them up. And I think Idea Village is a perfect spot to get you guys really build on that. You know, you may just have an idea, but let's talk about finance and let's talk about what it means to run a business as opposed to have an idea.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm a firm believer in sort of the educational mission, right? Mm-hmm. I'm an educator at heart. I think the more people that we can educate in these tools, which is really what they are, the center of what we teach is a toolkit for how to build a repeatable and scalable business. And I think, you know, going back to my sort of foundational days in New Orleans, working in the commercial banking sector and then in small business lending, I saw a lot of potential in what was happening here, but I often got frustrated that folks weren't necessarily thinking bigger, and they often weren't thinking, that often traced back, in my financial mind at least, to they weren't thinking about things that were high enough margin, and they weren't thinking about them in a repeatable and scalable way. And so I had this sort of eye-opening moment going to a conference in the Bay Area in Silicon Valley, where I was sitting in a room full of people, and I had this realization that this whole room of folks doesn't get out of bed for less than 100% gross margins. And back home, we're fighting over 20 and 30%.
Right.
And it's like, that might be a sort of wonky way to look at the problem, but it's that requires a sort of sea change in thinking to say, we need to be building the types of businesses that can sell the product for 2, 3, 4, 100 times what they bought it for.
Mm-hmm.
And if we can do that, then that allows for us to create businesses that, you know, can think more holistically about developing their employee base, that can hire 50 to 100 people a year, that can really create, you know, meaningful change in economic opportunity and ultimately a more vibrant local economy for this place that we all have such deep passion for and love so much. And so that's really the root of kind of why I do what I do. And I think it's part of what has become special about this organization is it really is a very large network of people that are sort of united by that common thread.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, as it relates to New Orleans, we've seen this tremendous success. I also believe we're at the center of where the frontier of innovation is going. So, you know, most people, when they think about startups, they default to, you know, I'm going to build a consumer-facing app that's going to do X, Y, and Z. Well, the reality is consumer technology is a mature market. You have a handful of players that own very large percentages of it. Where the frontier of innovation is going is things like health tech, things like culture tech, things like climate tech, where technology and innovation sort of touches the real world a little bit more. And we sit at the center of a lot of those problems. And so it's an exciting time to be doing what we do and an exciting place to be doing it in.
And you and I have gotten to see that through our other hats with Lagniappe Angels, right? I mean, New Orleans is trying to become sort of a healthcare destination in the sense of, on a much bigger scale, you think about the medical center in Houston, right? Well, you have this gap between Houston and Birmingham, maybe, right? And in some cases, even further into Florida. And now with the Ochsners of the world, the LSU Medical Center, the VA Medical Center, you have the beginnings of this. And we're starting to see that in the pitches that are coming to us, people trying to innovate in that space. Certainly, there's a passion and a dire need for innovation in the climate change, in the coastal preservation world here, you know, in the city. And I think you're right that there's a lot of opportunity here. Part of it, and this is where I think NOE and Idea Village really come together, is while NOE isn't so much about New Orleans, it is helpful to bring together people not from here. So you do get people from Silicon Valley that come to hang out for a week and hope to hear something interesting, right? And you can maybe lure them in with the idea of the culture of New Orleans, but then they come and they hear, boy, there's some really good things going on here. And they get out of their shell of the kind of first thing that comes to mind when you think of technology in Silicon Valley, right? And now you're in this different world.
I would say one of the reasons you put on a big event is to be really a front door, right? Mm. It's to try to hang a giant signpost to say, you know, if you're local and you've never been involved before, or you're coming from out of town and you want to get plugged in, this is where you start, mm-hmm. right? And so creating all this activity around a week is a way to sort of hang that signpost and say, look, we're open, we're doing things, we want you to be involved, we want you to show up, we want you to raise your hand and plug in. That's a really important purpose in the mm-hmm. overall ecosystem.
And I would just chime in there to say, I think a thing that's really special about New Orleans we've touched on and is related here is kind of repeat engagement, right? Like come once for NOE, but come back, build mm-hmm. a relationship with the entrepreneurs here, invest and return, buy a house, right? Like revisit. And I think Beyond Bourbon Street does that so well of kind of highlighting what a connected community it is year round. And New Orleans Entrepreneur Week really plugs into that as well, as it's like an annual invitation. We should really start selling recurring tickets, you know, come every year, get your lifetime pass. It's about the long term, right? This work takes a long time, and that's really important.
You know, the other thing I like, though, and you hit on it, John, is we also see in the investing world where if you get the person beyond the basics, then they don't know, they hit a plateau. Mm-hmm. The idea is good, that they are used to pitching a little bit, they have some funding, but they maybe now need to think 10 times bigger than they were thinking. And we were already pushing them to think 10 times bigger than they were thinking. And they stall out, you know, or they hit their peak where their ability to understand the finances kind of peaks. And it's time to bring on someone whose specialty is that. And I see that you guys help start to bridge that gap, whether it's advising them on how to do that, but also understanding that think bigger is not just about your idea. It's about the sort of ecosystem you have to build around that to take a company from an idea to an early seed to significant funding and beyond, and looking at an exit.
Yeah, it's ultimately about building a system, right? Mm-hmm. If we can build a vibrant system, it helps companies across stages find whatever that next resource is. And it's our job is to surround companies with the people that are one, maybe two, three, four steps ahead of where our founders are, so that they can help them avoid the pitfalls that they might have run into, right? Mm-hmm. So we really try to work hard to create a kind of 360 system of mentorship that engages folks that have experience building these types of businesses in paying it forward to the next generation of founders. And that starts with the person who did it yesterday and the person who did it 40 years ago.
Yeah. You know, and for me, one of the things Idea Village does is, as I've gotten more connected in this world, there is a lot of that knowledge in this city that was just never asked, right? I mean, there is, you think of the coast, for instance, but there are a lot of really successful business people here with a lot of, we see it again, in our Lagniappe Angels group, people with just tremendous energy and enthusiasm and willingness to set their own business aside and help new businesses. But no one, there was never a forum. Like, no one ever asked them, right? We would hear that over and over again. Oh, I have knowledge about that. I'm happy to help. I would love to mentor a younger person or someone new at business. And I think Idea Village is really that kind of funnel, that sort of binder, if you will, to pull together that existing knowledge, whether it's from here or you know, or elsewhere. But to that's the kind of support that you can expect when you come to Idea Village as a business.
As a community, you need the infrastructure to create those connections, right? Mm-hmm. It's would be lovely to think that it just happens organically, but we have a whole team of folks out here hustling as we speak that are literally sending emails, introducing people to one another so they can have those types of interactions and setting up the times. And
right.
It's a lot of sort of unsexy logistics that goes into making sure those things happen and they happen on a high level. And so I think one of the things that New Orleans and this region has done that has been had a lot of foresight behind it is to invest in an organization like the Idea Village to do that in a way that doesn't cost founders 8% of the company to be able to get access to those types of resources. We've built this infrastructure as a community of nonprofits that has really institutionalized it or is starting to institutionalize it for the next generations. And so there's actually a lot of foresight in that. And I think it's a really special model. I think we're starting to see the returns from it. It took a long time to sort of get through that first turn of the flywheel. But now that we've had that, it becomes so much easier to do the next thing, and people start coming out of the woodwork wanting to help. And you know, you have this tremendous culture that this community is built on that, you know, creates things like Mardi Gras crews, right? They're built on the same impulse. If we can sort of turn that into, you know, giving back to startups, that becomes a very powerful bond we can really use to grow businesses.
Yeah. I want to be mindful of your time. I know you guys have a hard stop, but one of the other programs, kind of newer program that I'd like to talk a little bit is this idea called Idea Fuel. If you could a little bit share what that is. And because I think, again, that kind of brings to describe it.
Idea Fuel is born out of this idea of we really want to be inclusive about how we build the front door to our ecosystem, and we want to be able to invite everyone in. And so one of the things that we've seen in our own work, you know, we have this sort of very vibrant early stage program that we're putting 120 founders a year through. That program is very diverse. It's typically between 50% and 60% people of color. That falls off as we start to get into our later stage programs. And so that's a challenge that we need to figure out how to address. But one of the things that we've heard as we've gone out and talked to founders of color in particular is one of the key gaps is early friends and family capital, right? Mm-hmm. It's much harder to raise the sort of early seed money to get a prototype out, to really get off the ground and get started. And then there is a sort of definitive need for sustained coaching over the early stages of the business, where you have access to a sort of sounding board that's consistent across the early stages of the business. So Idea Fuel was created as a pilot last year with support from AT&T to address that gap. So we write $15,000 non-dilutive checks, grant checks effectively to, last year we did two early stage startups, and then we provide a 6-month sustained coaching program around them after they've completed the Idea Institute program. We've had two great outcomes from that program last year. Ariel Brown from Bees Bayou Skincare, which is an amazing product you should go check out if you have itchy scalp and need something to remedy that. She is your person. And then Eddie Davis from matchups.io. If you have a son or daughter competing in high school athletics and you want them to take it to the next level, you need to check out matchups.io. So we are very excited to have had the opportunity to work with them. We're working on iterating the program for next year and trying to grow the program for next year. We're going to be launching applications soon. We'll do a showcase at NOE of some of the leading Black and Brown founders from our local community. So,
full circle.
I'm really excited about that because there's so much great about New Orleans, and there are also so many challenges for those of us that live here. And that's one of them, right? You just hit on it. This often people that to be frank about it, often white people are able to depend on friends and family for that startup money. And again, we see it when the people come to us for seed money, they've already raised $200,000 from friends and family. And then people of color don't have those resources in many cases. And you mentioned it several times that at your heart, you're an educator. Certainly that's how I came to know you. And I think that what longtime New Orleanians have always said is the education process and system in this city is the failing and is the foundation, right? And we had a chance after Katrina to change that. I would argue it's not been very successful. We are no further along than we were before that. But in the entrepreneur space, what you guys are doing with not only the bigger programs, but now with Idea Fuel, is trying to give some equal footing to people, regardless of their background and race and ethnicity and all of that. And I think that that's just an incredible opportunity, because it's ridiculous to think there's not just as creative an opportunity there and that we're missing out, right, as a community and not tapping that. And here's a way to support that, right?
Yeah, I mean, even in the limited work that we've done to date, we've already seen that, right?
Yeah.
As that's what's happening on the ground. And it's, you know, if we can do that at 10x or 100x the size, I think it's going to make a real difference for New Orleans.
And that success will breed success, right? Those two are going to obviously be able to share their experiences. Yeah. I want to thank you guys both. The programs are both separate and combined, right? As I hope you've heard. You know, people should definitely come to NOE. It is not only a lot of fun, but the programs get better and better each year. Idea Village, and we will put links to NOE, to Idea Village, to the podcast, to everything in the show notes for this show, which will be at beyondbourbonst.com/172. But I also want to mention, you've mentioned, John, that Idea Village is nonprofit. So not only, if you are an investor out there listening, you have the opportunity to connect with these businesses and invest, but I would also encourage you to consider supporting the Idea Village as a way of building that base of companies that you and others can later invest in. That's just as important, right? It doesn't always need to be about a return that you see coming straight out of your investment, but in building that base of companies so that there are companies to invest in.
Yeah. Thank you for saying that, Mark. I think that's incredibly important. And it is, you know, we keep our lights on through donations from interested folks that want to see a better New Orleans, want to see more startups, want to see more innovation across the Gulf Coast. And that allows us to do what we do in the way that we do it for our founders. So I think it's maintaining and growing that infrastructure is incredibly important, and every dollar helps.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would challenge, again, people that are investors to throw a few dollars in the direction of Idea Village, because you're helping build that very community that you're going to invest in tomorrow.
And you can find that link on the right-hand side of our website.
www.ideavillage.org.
That's right.
I really appreciate that. Again, NOE is a wonderful event. It's wonderful from all angles. Plus, you get the fun of being in New Orleans. I'm excited about the venue this year and being able to walk out across the street to Lafayette Square. And there's music. The streetcar, incidentally, if you're listening to this, is literally out the front door of Gallier Hall. Mm-hmm. So you have that to take it and go explore uptown New Orleans and ride a 135-year-old, 140-year-old streetcar. So, John and Liz, I want to thank you so much for taking the time. I know you rushed in. I know you guys are really busy right now, but I appreciate you sharing what's going on here at Idea Village and at NOE.
Thank you, Mark. Thanks for having us on. Really love it.
I want to thanks also to our sponsors, again, Travel Chasers, Liz Wood and Tommy Manzella. I want to start mentioning some of our partners on here today, and these are folks that don't necessarily have on-air sponsorship, but do support us through Facebook and our social media channels. I want to give a shout-out today to The Occasional Wife, to NOLA T-Shirt Club, and to Bienville Capital. You can find out more about them, as well as all of our sponsors and partners, again, over at beyondbourbonst.com. Last but not least, be sure to pick up a copy of my travel guide. It's called Beyond Bourbon Street, An Insider's Guide to New Orleans. If you're coming to NOE, you definitely want to have that in hand to maximize your experience. It's available online at many local bookstores and from me directly. And again, there's links in the show notes. With that, I'm going to turn it over to my daughters to close us out.
New episodes are available every other Wednesday. If you're enjoying the podcast, please share it with someone else who loves New Orleans as much as you do.
Until next time, laissez le bon temps rouler.
Thanks for listening to the Beyond Bourbon Street podcast. Find us anytime at beyondbourbonst.com.